The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Getting you closer to rugby with Irish Independent Park. Epic stories start here.
You're welcome to the Big Red Bench. Coming up over the next hour, analysis from former Munster and Ireland hooker Frankie Sheehan after Munster's bonus point victory at Irish Independent Park today. We'll look back on City's loss to Dundalk at Turner's Cross last night.
You know, we are disappointed because we felt it was an opportunity tonight. We're certainly a better team than we were last year, in my opinion. I think we play much better and we create a lot more, but uncharacteristic for us that we give away, you know, soft goals.
Former City striker Pat Morley will also join us with his analysis a little bit later on. And of course, we have the build-up to the big one tomorrow, Cork's National Football League final.
I suppose even if we win the game on Sunday against Dublin, people will be saying, it's only the league, let's see how they go in the Championship. And if we go in the Championship and perform poorly, then everybody would say 2015 was a disaster.
All that and more between now and 7 on the Big Red Bench. You're very welcome along, folks. Lisa Lawler here with you on the Big Red Bench this evening until 7 p.m. On top of all that, we're talking Premier League football, domestic action today in the FAI Senior Cup. We have a very interesting interview with Jamie Wald shortly ahead of the Cork Hurlers Challenge game against Kilkenny at Porkyrinna. I'm sure many of you making your way to that now. Throw in at 7 o'clock there. More on that later. We have a competition on the show this evening as well ahead of the big match between Cork and Dublin tomorrow at Croke Park. The GAA have given us two pairs of tickets to tomorrow's match, so Cork football supporters, you might already have plans to head to Dublin tomorrow, or maybe this will change your mind and you'll get on the road tomorrow to support the Rebel footballers. I'm going to make it very simple. Any Cork football supporter will know the answer to this question to win tonight. Who did Cork beat in the league final? Who did Cork beat in the league final tomorrow? They're playing Dublin, but who did they beat 2 weeks ago to get their place in that final? Text 0868 104 106. If you're on listening online this evening, you can tweet me, you can email sport at redfm.ie, or indeed text 0868 104 106. Later on, we'll hear from Brian Cuthbert, we'll hear from Conor Dorman, Brian Hurley and Jamie O'Sullivan all ahead of that match tomorrow, as well as Cork prepare to hopefully dethrone Dublin as the league champions. The Dubs are going for 3 in a row tomorrow, but hopefully it'll be the Rebels returning with the title tomorrow. But right now on the bigger bench, we're starting with rugby. Munster moved to second on the Guinness Pro 12 table with a 30 points to 19 win over Treviso at Irish Independent Park. And Tommy O'Donnell put in a man of the match performance on his 100th appearance for the province. He crossed for one of the first half tries, as did Simon Zeebo and CJ Stander, the all important bonus point try from a penalty try in the second half. Now, we've been broadcasting from Irish Independent Park all day, and it's back to Colm we're going to go, because he's got more analysis with an expert in the field. Colm.
Yes, Lisa. Well, I'm joined here on the Big Red Bus at Irish Independent Park by Frankie Sheehan, the Munster and Ireland legend. Frankie, great win for Munster today, and as you said, a very important win with the bonus point and so on as well.
Well, I think that was it, and we said before the game that it wasn't just going to be about the win, it was going to be about the performance. And I think by and large Munster did well. I think the scrum performed, the lineout did very well, and they scored a nice couple of tries. And you know, didn't seem to pick up any bad injuries, which is always a worry around this time of year, because when you get into the business side of the season, if you like. But it's a very positive result for them. Great occasion out here in Independent Park. You guys here, you know, adding the publicity during the week with Red FM, and it's a great family occasion, and it's really has been an enjoyable day. So fair play to everybody for coming out.
We mentioned the bonus point and the prospect of a home draw, and that's vital, really, isn't it?
It is. When you don't want to get someone like Glasgow away from home. I mean, Glasgow have in recent years have really been a formidable side, and they'd be very difficult to play away. So what you want to get is, you want to get home, and the top two get that home draw. So there's a big carrot there, and of course Ulster will be driving things on as well up the north, because the final this year is on in Kingspan Park, which is the old Raven Hill. So they have an extra incentive that if they win their semi-final, that they will get that home draw there as well. So it's all to play for. It's quite exciting, really, and so it's just hopefully Munster can come up trumps this year.
What players stood out for you today for the Munster team?
Well, I mean, it was good to see the likes of Dunnock Ryan back out there. Conor Murray, as always, he seems to be all over the place. Young Rory Scannell, I thought, did very well as well in the midfield. Ian Keatley, as always, is good. Simon Zeebo took his try nicely at the start as well. So, you know, it's a team effort. A couple of mistakes, but considering the conditions, I think they played very well.
It's a great sporting weekend in Cork. We had the Cork City game last night, the Cork and Kilkenny game later on, and the hurling as well. And here then today, the Munster game at Irish Independent Park. And it's great to have Munster games in Cork, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's really, really good. I mean, I think Cork people for years have been travelling up and down that road to Limerick, and it's great. The Thomond Park is fantastic and we all love going up there, but it's nice to have a few games back here as well. And again, credit to yourselves and Red FM and Irish Independent for giving it the publicity, because at times I think we have been guilty of not letting people know the other sport that is on, or that there's a rugby match on. And I think it's a credit to Cork people. Cork people love all sport, and you mentioned there you have the soccer, you have the hurling, and you have the football, and we are, you know, we happen to be quite good at most sports. So in a way, you know, people, they're competing a bit with each other, but people need to know that they're on too. And I think you can see by the numbers that have come here today that they have reacted to that publicity around it, and they've come along, so it's great.
Frankie, thanks for joining us on the Big Red Bench today here at Irish Independent Park, and we'll see you the next time we're down here.
Many thanks, we'll talk to you again, thank you.
Back to you in studio, Lisa.
Thanks a million for that, Colm. Colm O'Sullivan there speaking to Frankie Sheehan from Irish Independent Park. And I'm very jealous of Colm, having a brilliant day down there at the rugby. And but Munster getting a bonus point win over Treviso today, which puts them on second on the table. And we spoke to Billy Holland a couple of weeks ago on the show ahead of the final run and the three final games in their season, and he talked about having to get maximum out of the final three games. They've done that today, and next up they're away to Ulster Rugby. That's on the 9th of May, so the weekend off next weekend, just to, I suppose, work on a few more things ahead of that match against Ulster. They had a big win over Leinster last night, now sitting top, well, they were top of the table until, of course, Glasgow won today against Connacht. A huge win over my beloved Connacht. So, yeah, that was disappointing. But Munster doing the business to, again, leapfrog Ulster into second on the table. All right, we're going to move to football now, and just a look at the live Premier League action. Manchester City hosting Aston Villa in the late kickoff. City leading 1-0 through Sergio Aguero, 36 minutes played there. So I'll keep you updated on that if we have any updates. All right, so we're talking League of Ireland football now, and Cork City welcomed Dundalk, the champions, to Turner's Cross last night. There was almost 6,900, they said, the official capacity. So it was a sellout at Turner's Cross last night. Unfortunately, it did not go the way of City. They lost out 2-1 on the night. Richie Tell with a brace, a goal either side of half time. We're going to hear from former Cork City striker Pat Morley. He'll join me in just a few minutes time, but first the reaction of both managers after last night's game. And here's Cork City manager John Caulfield.
Look, I suppose we probably gave away two bad goals. You know, we conceded right in the stroke at half time, corner kick, you know, it was a soft, it was a bad clearance, we didn't get a touch to it, and towel finished. And then, you know, we had a chance straight after half time to score, and they went up the pitch and we gave away a soft penalty. And I suppose, you know, when you're 2-1 down at home and against a team like Dundalk have won the league, you know, it proved difficult. And we did well in the second half. We tried to get the equaliser back, because, you know, Dundalk were champions for a reason, and you know, it was just we had a few chances. But I suppose ultimately we conceded two soft goals, which is unlike us. It was Rodgers in the second half by two or three good saves, and we had a couple of headers that we missed. And you know, if you're very early on at nil all, Shep had a great chance at the back post, you know. So you know, when you look at it overall, it's hard to, you know, I have to see and study it, because it was a helter skelter game. There was periods, you know, I thought we started quite well, and Dunleavy's injury probably disrupted us for a spell, and to be fair, they'd have knocked in for 10 minutes, they were all over us, and did the crossbar, you know. But still, when we scored, they were rattled and we were doing well, and to be honest with you, I don't think they really looked like scoring then, you know. And obviously in the scoring half time, but you know, when you play any of the top teams, you know, if you lose a couple of times and well in, that's going to cost you in the end. There's no doubt about that. So you know, we are disappointed, because we felt it was an opportunity tonight. You know, we're certainly a better team than we were last year, in my opinion. I think we play much better and we create a lot more, but uncharacteristic for us that we give away, you know, soft goals. And you know, that was a disappointing thing. But you know, with Dundalk champions, and when you're champions, it lifts you up more, because you know how to win. And they're cagey, you know, in the last 20-25 minutes they played out the game and they delayed it and stuff like that. And you know, sometimes they're probably just a bit too honest, you know. And but at the same time, I still think, I said the guys were back training this week. Most importantly, you don't feel sorry for yourself. Long way to go, and you just have to regroup. And there'll be a lot of turns and twists in this league yet. So it's just important that we get back to win away next week. But you know, look at this. There's no hiding place. I keep saying that, and you know, our crowd were fantastic. Huge numbers tonight, and it was fantastic, and so you know, overall, other than the result, the occasion was good, you know, but it's the result we want, not the occasion.
What's your
Cork City boss John Caulfield there speaking to us after last night's defeat to Dundalk at Turner's Cross? He mentions the atmosphere at Turner's Cross last night. It really was absolutely unbelievable. The crowd were in early. They built up that atmosphere. They always do before kick-off. So it was absolutely brilliant. But I have never, ever heard such a vocal, such a loud crowd go silent after a goal, because when Richie Towell scored his goal, silence descended on Turner's Cross, and it was absolutely phenomenal, to be honest. You could just feel the absolute, you know, deflation in the crowd. So that was hugely disappointing, obviously. But, you know, it's how hard it is for supporters. It must be 10 times worse for the players. But that's Cork City manager and his thoughts. Now we're going to hear from the Dundalk boss, and that is Stephen Kenny.
Notoriously difficult place to go. Cork haven't conceded a goal this season. So to come back from a goal down to win 2-1, hit the post twice in the manner that we did, yeah, it was a great win. Yeah, what a player Richie is for us. He's been terrific since the day he walked in the door, and we're very pleased to have him. And 10 goals, 9 in the league from midfield. You know, it's only the fourth series of the game, so terrific. Pretty good centre forward display by David McMillan, I felt. You know, you gave an exhibition on how to play up front and on your own. You know, I think it was terrific. It was a good goal. It was a good team display. Cork. I've been on such a great run at home, and we knew that there was a lot of expectation. Their new signings and the crowd tonight were really, the crowd were terrific, because they were here an hour and a half before kickoff, and it's great to see that. And credit to the club here, must be said, and credit to the people for coming and coming out in the numbers that they did. We knew that the momentum from that and getting the goal, the lead, you know, it wouldn't be easy to come back from. But we found a way.
10 games in, how big of a psychological boost is this, you know, beating your title challenges from last year at home tonight?
I think it was important, you know, I think very important. But it is early. We're not getting carried away with ourselves. We know we have a lot of hard work ahead. But it was a big win for us tonight. And, you know, Cork nearly got a late equaliser at the end with Carl Shepherd's header. But I felt we were worthy winners on the night, to be honest, you know.
That's Dundalk manager Stephen Kenny on the Big Red Bench, Cork's Red FM. We're looking back at City's 2-1 defeat to Dundalk at Turner's Cross last night. And for more on this game, I'm now joined by former Cork City striker Pat Morley. 2-1 defeat, Pat. A very disappointing night at the Cross.
Yeah, I suppose people would be very disappointed, but I think, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to Dundalk as well. I mean, they came down. I mean, a full house in Turner's Cross, never in a very difficult place to come when you're from an away team. And I've had that experience both being playing with an away side and a home side. And, I mean, in fairness, then they put it up to Cork City. They went 1-2, probably a lucky goal from, I mean, it was an OG, really. And then they've just had an incredible intensity to get back into it, and they showed the level of skill that they've come, where they've come from last year. They really want to take it forward this year. And I think from John's side of things and the player side of things, they just need to take stock of what happened last night and realise that this is what we've got to get to now, because I really do think that Dundalk have taken to another level again.
Yeah, okay, before we talk more about that, as you mentioned, Billy Dennehy's goal only came in the 33rd minute. Like, it was pretty much against the run of play, because it was Dundalk that had all the chances really up to that point, despite a few early chances from City. But those two goals, when they came at crucial times, just before and after the break.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think like Billy's goal, or the OG, or whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
it was against the run of play. And then Carl Shepherd had a great chance after that with a header, which if went in, they were two up, and then that changes the whole game. And as you say, it was against the run of play, because Dundalk came out of the traps and they really, really worked very hard. Obviously, yes, the two Richie Towell goals were really at crucial times, but he's an exceptional footballer, you know, and I've always said that he's too good for this league. But they came right before halftime and right after halftime. And it's a time when you're sort of saying, look, we'll get in at halftime and we'll be okay, we're one up, and then we come out, we don't kind of concede early, and unfortunately that happened. But again, as I said, you've got to take stock of that, you know. I mean, over, like, if you look at Cork teams over the last 25, 35 years or whatever it is. I mean, in 1991, we lost the league. In 1993, 94, we lost the league. In 2000, we lost the league. And last year, we lost the league. And it was all being beaten by teams that we didn't take more points off them. And it's the most important thing you can do if you're trying to win a league, that the team that you think are possibly going to finish above you, you got to really take the same amount of points, if not more points, off of them to win a league. And it's happened us four or five times in the past. And, you know, I think the lads will really knuckle down now and say, right, hang on a second. This side came down, they really showed us where they are, and we've got to just really try and match that and get better, you know.
Well, they all talked about how they had to lay down a marker this week, you know, in the preview interviews. And that's what everyone is saying now, you know. It's only 10 games in, but it was such small margins last season. So this is a huge psychological hit for them?
Well, I wouldn't take it that way, and I'm sure John wouldn't take it that way. I'm sure they're bitterly disappointed. I mean, look, you have to look at it from two sides of things. Yes, Cork City will say, we want to lay down a marker, they're coming down, we want to show them what we're made of. And I just think Dundalk came out last night with serious, serious intent and intensity to say to people, have a look at us, look how fit we are, look how strong we are, look how we're going to harry you, look how we're going to chase every ball, look how we're going to put you under pressure, and look what we're going to do. And they did exactly that. And I think, might be wrong, but I think Cork might have been caught a small bit by surprise with a lot of it. And it's sort of a thing where you're in a game, you're trying to get yourself back into it, and they're constantly putting you under pressure, and it's very, very difficult. Can Dundalk do that for the rest of the season at that intensity every week in, week out? They need to have a very, very strong squad to do that. And I saw last year where we were doing a couple of games near the end of the season, they really started to flaunter near the end of the season. And it was only the introduction back of Stephen O'Donnell near the end of the season that really got him over the line. So it's a huge, it's a huge blow last night. It's not the end of the world by any means of the imagination. It's only, as you say, 10 games in. There's loads of games to be played for. Like, Cork just need to take stock, get back, and then get back into winning ways next week with the next game, which is the most important one to know. And obviously have their analysis and their chat and whatever they have to do to look at it all. But I think the biggest thing that they will notice out of last night is just the level of, and I keep using the word intensity, that Dundalk brought to the table last night, and how hard they worked for each other. And even when you look at the substitutions that Stephen Kenny made, he was still bringing quality players in and taking quality players off. And that's huge when you're looking at trying to win a league back-to-back, which is exceptionally difficult to do as well.
To their credit, though, and I know Dundalk probably set back a little bit, but that level of intensity you talk about, City never left anything to be desired on the pitch when it came to the end of the match and pushing for the equaliser.
No, and they won't. I mean, look, I've played with John for 15, 16, 17 years. And I mean, I know what the guy's like. And City supporters know what he's like. So when he went on a pitch, he gave it everything. And that's, like, you can see that in the players. I mean, there's a serious will to do what has to be done to bring trophies back to the club. I mean, it's so important. And there's a great squad of players there. And as you say, amazing. I mean, the effort that they put in, you know, when you are being harried like that constantly on a pitch, it is extremely, extremely difficult. It gets very frustrating at times. Because there was even incidents near the end of the game, I think about 15 minutes to go. I mean, Liam Miller was being hounded in the middle of the park. He won a great ball and he passed it out to the left wing.
Yeah.
Referee blew up the whistle. Cork City had a 3-on-3 and the referee hauled the game, and you're going, you know, you just need to leave that go. And unfortunately, the little breaks didn't go their way either last night. And as I say, Cal Shepherd had a chance. You know, in the first 20 minutes, John O'Flynn was flying all over the place, causing serious problems. And you're looking at it going, you know, just a little break could have happened as well. But I'd be disappointed, but if I was in the team and I was saying no, I would just be sort of saying to myself, you know what, we need to just do a little bit more here, guys, if we're going to try and really challenge this year. And as I keep saying, the most important thing you've got to take out of last night is the intensity that Dundalk played at, and Cork City really now need to try and beat Dundalk in the next game, and even worst case scenario when it comes to Turner's Cross in the third round of the season, or of the series of matches, that they even get a point there and work out the season with Dundalk either level or ahead. Because I think, by far, they're the team to beat this year.
I think they showed that last night, all right, yeah. Richie Towell got man of the match at Turner's Cross last night. Pat, but who impressed for you, maybe on the City side of things?
I think there was quite a few of them. I mean, I think, you know, I just think what you're looking at is, you're looking at a squad of players that John has got to rotate now. in the right way for everything. I thought, like, Liam Miller tried to dictate the pace of the game. I thought Colin Healy done very well. I mean, Billy works always very, very hard. I thought John O'Flynn did very well for the first 35-40 minutes, because I think he worked very, very hard. But as I keep going back to it, when you're being pressured like that, it is very, very hard to keep going at that level if you don't have the ball. And then you become the, as I said last year with Cork City, the hunted rather than the hunter. And again, there is always going to be a situation when you come to the cross that teams are going to either one, lose the plot, or two, produce what Dundalk produced last night. And I think, you know, when they sit and look at the video analysis over the next few days, I'm sure they'll see it themselves. And I know in the dressing room last night, they know it themselves. But it's not lost by any form of the imagination. I think there's, what, 23 games left or whatever? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a huge league to be won. And we saw it last year with City where they kept digging out a late result and something happened the right way. And then Dundalk started to flounder. And I was actually up doing the Bray game, Dundalk 2 games to go, which should never have been played. And I'm looking at Dundalk going, do you know what? City could go here and win this. And it's just so long. And I mean, they put down a marker. I mean, Dundalk put down a serious marker last night, a serious marker to where they are as a footballing side and how they play. And I think the biggest thing that Cork have to take out of it is look at it and go, right, we've got to match that. And if they can match that, City have the players to go on without a shadow of a doubt.
Great stuff, and plenty of time, as you say, to do it, hopefully. Pat, thank you very much for your analysis.
Pleasure as always.
Former Cork City striker Pat Morley there giving us his thoughts on last night's defeat to Dundalk. Here on the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM, Lisa Lawler here with you until 7 o'clock this evening. I'd love to hear your thoughts if you were at the cross last night, or indeed if you're at home, because it was on TV, of course. So if you've got thoughts on the match last night, text us 0868 104 106. We've hit half time at the Etihad, where Manchester City are hosting Aston Villa, and Darren Stanage saw the first 45 there.
Man City 1, Villa 0 at the break, a disaster start for Villa. Within 3 minutes, Brad Guzan hashed clearance inside his own box, gifted Aguero a tap in to put the host in front. He almost gifted City a second, flapping a free kick, and Mangala's free header went wide. Navas Aguero also going close, but then Villa started to come back into the game. Benteke looked offside when he shot inside the box, only for Hart to save. Cleverly close, the visitors in truth unlucky to be behind. At the break, Man City 1, Villa 0.
All right, that's the late game in the Premier League. Looking back at last night for Cove Ramblers, better night for them. A Stephen Kenny penalty saw them come from behind to earn a point at the UCD Bowl. College led from the 14th minute when Ryan Swan got his head to a skipper on the night. Chris Mulhall's free kick, rather. But Kenny slotted home their equaliser from the spot on 62 minutes. So Cove Ramblers are now sixth on the First Division table, with Cavan Teely and Waterford United below them. Now, later we've heard Man City leading Aston Villa will do a full roundup of all the earlier games today. Some not so very interesting results, and more very interesting ones. So we'll, as regards the relegation battle, really. So we'll have a full roundup very shortly. But today in domestic football and the FAI Cup first round, some mixed results for Cork sides here. College Corinthians beaten 1-0 by Crumlin United at Corinthians Park, while Cove Wanderers beat Clonmel Celtic 2-0. Goals there from Conor Mead and Davin O'Neill. All right, we're going to change codes now, and we're going to move to Gaelic games on the Big Red Bench. Coming up shortly, we'll have previews of Cork and Dublin in the National Football League final tomorrow at Croke Park. Cork and Dublin, the Dubs going for a 3 in a row, and Cork hopefully stopping them en route. We'll also be looking ahead to the ladies football semi-final as Cork take on Kerry there tomorrow. The clash of the rivals yet again. Cork beat them earlier in the league, so no doubt the Kingdom will be looking to exact some revenge there. But before we move to our next interview, just another opportunity to win tickets to tomorrow's league football final at Croke Park. To win, a very simple question: who did Cork beat in the league semi-final? Who did Cork beat in the league semi-final to progress to tomorrow's decider against Dublin? A couple of you texting in the wrong answer and saying Dublin, but it's who did Cork beat in the league semi-final. Text your name, answer, age and address to 0868 104 106. Two pairs of tickets to give away this evening, so get your hands on a ticket for yourself and a friend. All right, before we move on to tomorrow's football match and our preview of Cork and Dublin, the Cork Hurlers in action at Porky Rin tonight, taking on Kilkenny in the Friends of Jamie Wall fundraising match. And the story of Jamie Jamie Wall is one that has inspired so many people. That's why we expect a huge crowd at Porcupine this evening. The Kilbritton clubman, a Cork minor and under 21 star, made the step up to the intermediate grade last year. He contributed to their Munster Championship win over Tipperary at the end of June last year, but when the squad list came out for the All-Ireland Series, the young hurler was on the injured list, having picked up an infection and an abscess on his spine, which led to paralysis from the midriff down. I've spoken to Jamie about life since then, and I started by asking him to describe how he puts the last 10 months.
If I had to put an adjective on it, I would say it's been difficult. Simple enough, one after, without too much thought into it. It's been difficult, you know. There's no point pretending otherwise. You know, it's been like there haven't been good moments. There have, of course, been good moments. There have been great moments. There have been very, very tough moments as well, though, you know. And I suppose you could find them moments mixed up together in the middle of, you know, in the same hour, like, or in the same day, you know. So I suppose difficult because of that kind of whole, you know, up and down aspect of it. I suppose difficult is probably the most apt word after.
And as time goes on, Jamie, does everyday life get easier as you kind of come to terms with the difficult moments and maybe expecting them, or are there less of them now as time goes on?
To be honest, I think as time goes on, depending on your goal orientation, it can actually get a little harder, you know. I suppose the longer it goes on, kind of obviously the statistics say the less chance you have of making full recovery, you know, naturally. So for me, the longer it goes on, you know, the more things come into focus, kind of the more the rest of the world comes into focus, it makes things a lot more real. Whereas I suppose when you're in hospital, you're sheltered from a lot of that.
And I've been consistently impressed, Jamie, with your outlook being so positive. I don't know you at all, aside from being a hurler with Mary I back in the day in Cork, but I follow you on Twitter, and your positive outlook is something that's consistently impressed me through these challenges. Where do you get that from?
I don't know, really. I suppose, look, sometimes, you know, sometimes it's as much a survival mechanism for myself as it is anything else, you know. It's just an attempt to throw the gauntlet down to myself that, you know, I have to live up to this, and I have to kind of sometimes, you know, just I have to get through, and other times you're not able to do it yourself, someone else has to help you through. And, you know, I suppose that kind of positivity sometimes, like I said, is a survival mechanism. Other times it's a result of, you know, the sheer base of support that I've been given, you know. So it's nothing like it's something that I wouldn't be able to achieve without that level of support.
And the support you mentioned, you can see it everywhere this week, especially in the lead up to the match, but you're described a lot as an inspiration, Jamie. How does that make you feel now, and, you know, when people describe you as an inspiration in what you're going through?
A little humble, to be honest, because for me, you know, the inspiration is the people who inspire me are the people who are kind of are supporting me, you know, and to see that support inspires me. So I suppose it's a little humbling to be kind of branded with that word when I see so many of them around me, you know.
Jamie, I spoke with Mark Pollock, and for anyone who may not know who Mark is, a blind adventurer who suffered a horrific accident that paralysed him from the waist down. But he spoke at the time about how his own sporting career gave him a competitive edge that helped in his rehab. Have you found it the same for you now after your experience in sport?
Absolutely, yeah. I suppose I used to have a math teacher who used to say, when you come across a problem you don't know how to fix, do what you know. And more often than not, when I was doing maths, I came across problems I didn't know how to fix. So I kind of decided, look, this is a problem I don't know how to fix, and I'm going to do what I know. And what I knew was sport and was training and was work. So I suppose that, you know, like Max said, that gives you a, maybe not an edge, but it does give you a kind of a drive that maybe you're lucky to have, that you are certainly lucky to have, because it's something that you certainly need a drive for. I spoke before about trying to find a little victory, you know, every day, trying to find a small win, you know, because it's not, I mean, you're not going to get out of bed any day, and you're not going to get out of bed and all of a sudden, hey presto, you're better. Like, you know, it could be a physically gain, you know, a little flicker here or whatever it is. Other times it might be something as simple as, you know, when you're in the house on your own and managing to grab something that's out or slightly out of reach to make a cup of tea, like whatever it is, you know, it's grabbing pieces of your life back, you know, and, you know, just taking ownership sometimes, you know, and, you know, that's the way you measure each day, like by kind of trying to get a small win, you know.
That's Kilbritton's Jamie Wall there. Seriously impressive attitude, speaking to us on the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. If you want to hear more from Jamie, there's an extended version of that interview on our website, redfm.ie/sport. If you're in the car this evening, you may actually be on your way to Porcupine. The Cork senior hurlers taking on Kilkenny in a challenge match for the Friends of Jamie Wall Fund this evening. So should be an absolutely brilliant match as well. I mean, Kilkenny have put out a really strong starting 15. Cork have made lots of changes, but they're giving players some game time ahead of next week's league match. We've got players like Patrick Cronin returning after injury. Mark Ellis is back from illness. Paddy O'Sullivan's in there at full forward. I reckon he'll be doing a lot to put his hand up for a start next week after coming off the bench in a lot of league games to date. But best of luck to all involved, the Jamie Wall Friends of Jamie Wall fundraiser at Porcupine tonight. I'm heading over there straight after 7. Probably missed the first couple of minutes, but it's not one to be missed for Cork GAA fans that might be interested in getting over there in the next half an hour. Best of luck to all involved, and thanks to Jamie for taking the time to speak to us. Still to come on the Big Red Bench this evening, we're previewing Cork and Dublin in the National Football League final tomorrow. The Cork ladies in action against Kerry, and a full roundup in the Premier League, as well as the gentleman AP McCoy as he rides his final ride at Sandown today. That's all to come between now and 7. Stay with us.
The Big Red Bench,
getting you closer to rugby with Irish Independent Park. Epic stories start here.
Red FM.
You're welcome back to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. Lisa Lawler here with you until 7 this evening. Before we plough into the Gaelic Games, Manchester City still 1-0 up on Aston Villa, 47 minutes on the clock there now at the Etihad. So I'll keep you updated on that as it progresses. All right, looking at the league final at Croke Park tomorrow, Dublin and Cork. Dublin going for their 3 in a row, the third league title in a row, where Cork back in the final and looking to make more progress in what has been a very progressive league to this point. The Cork team was named on Thursday night, and we see Jamie O'Sullivan coming in instead of Brian O'Driscoll, who's out injured, of course, which means Conor Dorman switches to centre-back. Dublin named their team last night and have made two changes for the final. Full forward Bernard Brogan returns, while Ross O'Carroll is included at full-back after he missed the semi-final win over Monaghan through injury. So a very formidable Dublin side coming up against Cork tomorrow afternoon. We're going to hear from manager Brian Cuthbert very shortly, but first a couple of the players, and here's Brian Hurley and his thoughts on tomorrow's Dublin opposition.
I suppose Dublin, like, you know, they always play their own kind of game, you know, all out kind of, you know, all out attack really, I suppose, in one way. You know, I suppose they're the league champions and whatnot. They've shown, you know, previously and, you know, over the last 4 or 5 years, and they, that they're probably one of the best teams in Ireland. They are league champions, so they're obviously going to come with a good intensity and try to retain, going for 3 in a row, I think. So they're obviously going to go for a massive win, and hopefully we'll be thereabouts to stop them.
They haven't conceded too many goals, and ye have, so that's a new challenge for you.
Yeah, exactly. As I said, like Donegal game, I think we conceded a lot, so it's something we'll have to work on definitely in training over the next week or so. So like hopefully like, you know, we keep the goals out and get a few on the other end.
Brian, while you're still in the league competition and going right up into the final, is the pressure building on you for 2015?
I suppose no, really. Like being realistic about it, like, there was a lot of pressure on us last year. You know, people talk us up over the league. We know this year, like, we have our heads right. You know, we learned a lot from last year. We're probably in around the same position as we were last year. So, you know, our main focus is now performing in Championship. Thought we let ourselves down a small bit last year in Championship, and hopefully we can perform and go through the roof when it comes to Championship this year.
Do you think you need to earn the respect of your opponents a little bit more, though? Do you think, like you're saying, that there isn't pressure on you? Is that because maybe people don't have enough respect for you now?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I wouldn't really, to be honest, I wouldn't really care what anyone else really thinks about us. You know, I can't train in our own game, our own team, our own work rate, our own scores. Like, you know, I wouldn't really look outside the box or outside the picture or look at another team and how good they are or whatnot. I know what we can bring to the table, like, you know, especially with our panel and the players we have. So that's mainly my concentration, and, you know, whatever anyone else says outside the team, you know, it's non-existent to me, because, you know, I believe we're good enough to be thereabouts, like probably like every other team in the country. You know what I mean? They're obviously not training, you know, however many nights a week to go play at their county. You know, they obviously want to believe they can win and go on and win Munster and All Ireland or whatever it may be.
Brian, it's a cauldron you go up to Croke Park for a league final. You know, the Dub support is phenomenal. Even when they came down to Park Lorraine, it was huge. But how important is the Cork support going up to Croke Park?
I suppose, yeah. Look, I was kind of asked this question already and whatnot. Like, people are on about the Cork footballer support. Like, look, we know it's not massive, but look, to be honest with you, it never really bothers me. I'm always at a game or whatnot. To be honest, if my family and friends are up there, I'd be happy, like, you know what I mean. But obviously, if there's a big crowd up there, I'd be more than happy if a big crowd up in Croker. And do you know, the more crowd, the more merry, and the better atmosphere there will be. But no, I suppose there's a massive crowd at the Mayo games, you know, the doubleheader was on and whatnot, and you know, I suppose it did help us out at the end of the game, you know what I mean. We got a lucky enough goal and stuff like that, but I suppose the crowd had a good enough say on that, and it was very good to see them out and supporting us. But I said hopefully they'll be up in Croker, you know what I mean. The more atmosphere, the better the game will be, and you know, I'm sure it'll go down to the wire up there, so we'd like to hear a few Cork fillers up there.
Cork forward Brian Hurley there speaking to us ahead of the league final against Dublin tomorrow. Now we're going to hear from his teammate Conor Dorman. I mentioned he's moving to centre-back tomorrow in place of Brian O'Driscoll out injured. I asked him how much Cork want to win this final tomorrow.
Well, we're in a final now. Every final you want to win. I'm 100% sure that all the lads want to win it. It'd be nice to win it. Definitely set you up for a good championship. But as you said, Dublin want to win it as well. So whoever wants it more will get it.
Is it a win-win situation at this time of the year or a lose-lose situation? Like, you'll find pros and cons in every result and every kind of way that the game might play out. Play badly, there's lots to improve on. Play really well, confidence is high. What way would you think about the match?
Yeah, I suppose, look, if we do lose, which I hope we don't, we'll have to take, as you said, the pros and cons from it. It's not championship yet, it is only the league, so it's important to have a good performance, learn from it, learn from the other games, and then move on, and come championship then be better and be as best as you can.
Conor, as a defender in the modern game of football, what do you make of all this debate about the state of football?
Well, currently I like the state of football, to be honest, because the wing backs are getting a lot more attacking, and that's probably what my game would be about. But I know a lot of people are saying teams are going defensive and, you know, it's not good to watch, but like, teams want to win, and that's what it's all about at the end of the day. You know, if teams are winning by defending and not conceding as much, and maybe they might score as much, I'm sure the manager would be happy to take a win. If, you know, if we win a game 2-1, I have no problem with it because we're winning. So obviously it mightn't be the best to watch, but it's all about results.
How much do you look forward to the period after this game and preparing for championship, where you kind of go away from all this media interviews and week to week games?
Yeah, looking forward to the championship. Obviously we can improve a lot. We'd probably take what we did in the league, you know, see where we went right or see where we went wrong, and improve for championship. So people might be saying we're playing well enough now, but come championship we're hoping to be a lot better, a lot fitter, a lot stronger, a lot better all over the pitch.
Best luck.
Thanks very much.
That's Cork's Conor Dorman on taking on Dublin tomorrow in the league football final. Now, Jamie O'Sullivan, his clubmate, I asked him where the Rebels are finding their will to fight back and win games when they go behind.
I suppose it comes from the level and the amount and the intensity of training we've been doing. There's no point in punishing yourself January and February in the training, you know, in the wet, and then come the league, putting in poor performances. There's no point really, you know.
There can be a lot of inconsistency at this time of the year, obviously, but when you look outside of yourselves, who's impressed you in the league?
I suppose you have to say the Dubs, the way they started badly. Well, not badly, but I don't think they started like a house on fire, but they've burned away nicely, and I think they're coming to a boil nicely at the right time.
Yeah, expect an all-out assault from them?
Expect nothing else, yeah.
It's a very hostile environment to go up into, you know, in Croke Park. Does that bother you, or do you just revel in it?
Oh yeah, you absolutely thrive in it. The chance to walk out in Croke Park, you know, anyone would dream of it, the chance to play there. It's a huge opportunity personally, and you know, for the team as well. You know, just talking to any of your friends, they don't know what it's like. You're just very special to have that chance.
Tell us what it's like for those of us who will never get to experience it.
I suppose it's you know, a small bit eerie. You just have the pitch, you know, everything huge around it, but then comes down to it, it's just pitch, 15 of you on it, and then once the ball is thrown in, all the surroundings are gone, and then you just play the game really, I suppose.
That's Cork defender Jamie O'Sullivan speaking to us ahead of Cork and Dublin in the National Football League final at Croke Park tomorrow. It's a doubleheader, of course, the Division 2 final taking place as well. The action tomorrow at Croke Park should be very good. Looking forward to it. Before we hear from Brian Cuthbert, of course, Dublin and Cork clashed at Pádraig Éireann in the first round of the league. It's largely gone unmentioned in all these previews because Cork did beat Dublin that day 115 to 16 points. But what we know in league is there's a big difference from the first round until the final. But I have spoken to Brian Cuthbert about the Dublin side he'll meet tomorrow, and first on the semi-final victory, he admits the win over Donegal did end comfortably.
I think the game died off. I think Donegal more than likely had their eye on Tyrone on the 17th of May. We got calls at the opportune times and they just decided that was it.
So okay, you'd be happy enough if you got a hold on the game and got the win against Dublin if it petered out, but where does that leave you with performance and what you can learn from it?
I think, look, if the team can go to Croke Park and beat Dublin in the final, I think, you know, we'll be happy enough for that. You know, at this stage of the year, it's completely about performance, it's completely about learning, it's completely about getting better. And it's completely about, you know, I'd borrow Rory Gallagher's line here, it's about preparing for their championship, and it's the same as us, it's preparing for Limerick or Clare on the 13th of June. But at the same time, look, we're in a national final. I think the team will perform. I think the team has shown through the league, Lisa, that they go to the end and they fight and they fight and they fight, and they really give their all to get victory. And I think, you know, I'm expecting the same from against Dublin. But I completely understand that there's a slight disillusionment there at the moment with football, and people are wondering what's going to be served up. And I think you know people have that right, and certainly people who go to the games and spend money have the right to. You know, to be treated to excitement and good football. But at the same time, I suppose the point being is that football's gone through a funny phase, but I'd call it a phase because I believe that somebody somewhere is going to come along and bring something else to the party, and it will change.
Are you in a lose-lose situation at this time of the year? You can't win, as in doesn't matter what you do, you're it's thankless, like.
Yeah, well, you see, I suppose the GAA's judging championship,
yeah,
if you go to any competition in the country in you know, hurling football, camogie, ladies football, it's all based on what you're going to do in championship. I suppose even if we win the game on Sunday against Dublin, people will be saying, it's only the league, let's see how they go in the championship. And if we go in the championship and perform poorly, then everybody would say 2015 was a disaster. And that's fine. You know, that's the realisation is there. But I suppose for us, it's a case of, this is where we are right now. All we can do is go and play the games, like we've been doing. All we can do is go and try and win, which we have been doing most of the time. And all we can do is perform to the best of our ability. And, you know, if we come away after winning the National League, I think that will stand us in good stead for the Munster Championship. If we come away without winning the National League, you know, we can very simply turn it on its head and say it's only the league, like everyone has been saying. So what's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. Yeah. And, you know, I think, at the same time, Lisa, look, I won't try to fool anybody. We're in the final and we'll be going after the game.
And we'll say, what are you doing differently or trying to do differently at this time of the year in 2015 compared to this time last year?
I suppose, look, the game has even changed in 12 months, and the fact that people set the way they set in terms of how they play tactically, but the team has moved forward. We're 15 months into being together. Last year brought its own heartaches in lots of different ways. This year, so far, the league has been good. But look, we're able to make a very objective judgment on last year because it's finished. This year has only half gone through the season. If we're to be ultimately successful, we might play 15 matches. This is match number 9. So we can only judge this season so far and what we've seen. And, you know, we'll postpone making a full judgment until the season's over, and that's all we can do.
Yeah, but if you know, when you think back on this time last year, there might have been something going through your head, and you know, with the benefit of hindsight, you shouldn't have let yourself think like that. You know, that's the experience I'm talking about in your second year as manager.
Yeah, but like anything, like any it is a job, alright, and it's like any job, the second year around you think that you knew what you didn't do right last year, you're going to make sure that this year when that time comes that you try your best to do it right. But also, you know that your job has changed in the second year, and you also realise that, you know, even though you're making sure that you won't do the things that you didn't do right last year, you're going to make sure you get them right, there's going to be new things come to the job this year that you make sure, oh God, I have to get them right. And that's the nature of elite sport, and that's what we're playing. it moves forward so quickly. It's you know, everybody has to have eyes and ears open and learn as quickly as you can. Hindsight in sport and like anything else is a great thing, but I think that all you can do, and basically this is the modus operandi that I would try to adhere to, is that just try to make sure that things that didn't go right for you in the past, and make sure that, you know, when those opportunities come around again, that you learn from the last time, and make sure that at least those things can be ticked off, and whatever you learn right now, you park down to learning, and if the opportunity comes ever again, then make sure you get that right.
Let's talk about Dublin, Brian, and look at them as an opposition. You know, obviously, I assume you'll have an awful lot of homework done on them, not just their last performance. So, overall, what would you think of them?
Oh, they're a formidable opposition, Lisa. They've, you know, they've won the league last 2 years comfortably. Even this year, the first three games of the league, they decided to, you know, to integrate new young players into their team. And, you know, I would imagine that, you know, at that time that, you know, they weren't winning games and the pressure was coming on to play more and more of these, of Jim Gavin's main players, but he stuck to his guns, and he obviously has a lot of confidence in his team, and making sure he made sure that you know, that he was still going to qualify, and he's done that with 9 points. You know, has a very good run there the last 3 or 4 games. Obviously, anytime Dublin are in Croke Park, they're very hard to beat, and you know, they have huge strengths and they have huge athleticism. They're very, very good footballers, and they're, as I say, a very, very formidable opposition. But at the same time, you know, we're not going there just to make up numbers, and we have huge belief in what we can do, and we're really, really looking forward to the game.
When you talk about how a team sets up and things like that, when you go up to Croke Park for a league final now, who's going to dictate, or how is this game dictated in the opening minutes? How do you approach that? Like,
obviously both teams will be going in with their tactical plans, and you know, I think you know, Jim Gavin and Brian McIver from Derry, they you know, there was a lot of press after their game in the league that one of them said, you know, he did it first, kind of thing. And I think in Gaelic football now, if some team sets up defensively, you obviously, the other team has to stand a chance of winning the game. So I think there's a lot of toing and froing the first couple of minutes in any game, and there's a lot of looking and wondering, what is your plan going to counteract their plan? Is their plan going to counteract yours? And I think you know, that's the way it is in every game, and I think the game has a setting down period then for a couple of minutes, and people end up, you know, doing what they've set out to do. But certainly I think most teams now are going to games with a couple of different ideas anyway, Lisa, so it's a case of seeing what's going to work and then deciding very quickly what we're going to do.
It's a game of chess. What's Cork's checkmate move? What do you feel like is your biggest you know,
biggest
move to counteract Dublin, or to gain control over Dublin? Where do you have the edge on them?
I don't know. I think, look, we've a very good team. We once we have possession of the ball, we're very, very good. The key thing for us in any game is making sure that we have enough possession, and primary possession obviously comes off your own kick out and their kick out, so that area of the game is very, very important. And I think, you know, we have some very, very good forwards. Obviously Brian and Colm have been going very, very well, and they take minding with any team, but I think, you know, we have our strengths, Dublin have theirs. I'm just hoping that's going to be a very, very good game.
Lee, finally, you want to win it at silverware and offer, but what are confidence levels like? Are lads hopping in training?
I think so. I think they're, you know, you're coming to a nice part of the year, and the weather is good, the pitches are firmed up, you know, the summer is coming, championship is coming, and you're, you know, regardless of what people say, you're in a final, and athletes by their very nature, when they're getting ready for a final, you know, it brings another bit to the training. And I think certainly since the Donegal game, things have been, you know, training has gone well, and lads are really looking forward to the game.
That's Cork senior football manager Brian Cuthbert speaking to us on the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM ahead of the National Football League final against Dublin tomorrow, 4 o'clock in Croke Park, of course preceded by the Division 2 final Down and Roscommon. That's underway at 2 o'clock. Congratulations to our two winners this evening on the Big Red Bench. The GAA gave us two pairs of tickets to give away to tomorrow's league final doubleheader at Croke Park. Congratulations to Jeff O'Connell and Stuart Allen, heading up to Croke Park with a pair of tickets each. Well done, lads. All right, extended versions of those interviews with Brian Cuthbert, Jamie O'Sullivan, Brian Hurley and Conor Dorman, all available on our website redfm.ie/sport if you want to hear a little bit more from each of the lads on tomorrow's opposition, their league in general and what it would mean to win ahead of the championship tomorrow. We're staying with football and moving to the ladies' action now because Cork take on Kerry in the Tesco Homegrown National Football League semi-finals in Broadford tomorrow. Eamon Ryan has named a very strong side for this clash against their Munster rivals. I've previewed the game with the Rebels boss and begin by asking about their league form to date.
We've been up and down. I mean, we qualified easily, but I don't know. We didn't play that well. You see, a lot of players are gone, like, and we're trying to introduce new players, and it's hard on new players coming in like that. So the performances haven't been that great, but we're still winning a lot of matches, you know.
And at this stage, have you everyone back? And is training a little bit more consistent now with the other players?
Yeah. Deirdre O'Reilly will be missing again now because she's getting married next Saturday week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So after Sunday, she'll be missing again for a month or so.
Okay.
But outside of that, we have everybody else, and I know there's a good effort going in.
Good stuff. And we've spoken before, Eamon, about, you know, the thing about the league is how important it is because there can be such a long layoff between that and the championship. So is that what's making, you know, a progression to the final so important?
Oh yeah, that would be the big thing. Like, you know, if you don't qualify, say, for the semi-final, we played on the 12th of April, and if we hadn't been qualified, we wouldn't be playing again until July, you know. You'd have more than half your games played by the middle of April, so it's a bit lopsided that way, so it's kind of imperative that you at least qualify for the semi-finals and hopefully for the final, you know.
And when you look at Kerry now on Sunday, I mean, it's always a fierce rivalry between them, but what do you expect from them?
I had to say, as you say, there's a fierce rivalry there, you know, whether it's men's or ladies or underage. Each like to beat the other, so Sunday like will be, I'd say it'll be very tight again, you know.
You've named a very strong team as well, Eamon.
Oh, well, yeah, you know, you'd be, at this stage now, you'd be trying to put out the strongest team you can at a particular time. But, I mean, Kerry will do the same. And, you know, we beat them rather luckily in the preliminary round, so they'd be looking for revenge, obviously. I mean, we were lucky enough, they went ahead. With about 3 minutes to go, we came back and got 2 points to win by one, you know.
Even in the short term, they'll be looking for payback.
They will, yeah, that's understandable, you know.
And when you look at them as an opposition, what is it about them now that you'll be wary of?
Well, you know, they've beaten us a number of times in the league over the last few years, you know, beaten us in a Munster final. Now, it hasn't had any huge effect in that we always manage to get back into the competition, you know, through backdoor or through getting more points off of someone else. But they've been breathing down our necks now for the last few years. They're one of the top teams in the country, like, you know.
Well, Eamon, the very best luck to you on Sunday. Thanks for speaking to us.
Thanks, Lisa.
That's Cork Ladies football manager Eamon Ryan ahead of taking on Kerry in the National League semi-final tomorrow. That's in Drumcondra, Broadford, with a 2 o'clock start. Best luck to the ladies there. I'm out of time in terms of getting around to all the grounds for the Premier League results, but just going through today's action. First, an update on the action at the Etihad. Manchester City have doubled their lead to Alexander Kolarov. Sergio Aguero put them ahead 3 minutes in. He got the second on the 66th, but cleverly has just pulled one back for Aston Villa. So it's now City 2, Aston Villa 1, and City can all but secure Champions League football with a win there tonight, so they're on their way if they don't let Aston Villa come further on their heels. That's because Liverpool are now 6 points adrift before that game after being held to a scoreless draw at West Brom earlier. Tottenham are 6th and Southampton 7th following their lunchtime 2-2 draw, while at the other end of the table Leicester are out of the bottom 3 after a Michael Duff own goal gave them a 1-0 win at Burnley. The Clarets had Matty Taylor miss a vital penalty just before the hour. Sunderland drop into the bottom three after their 1-1 draw at Stoke. Hull have given themselves a huge boost in their battle against the drop. They 2-0 win at Crystal Palace there today. QPR stay second from bottom as Charlie Austin missed a penalty in their scoreless draw with West Ham, while Newcastle have suffered a 7th straight defeat, this time going down 3-2 at home to Swansea. So as things stand at the Etihad, 68 minutes played, Manchester City 2, Aston Villa 1 in the live game. All right, we're just about to finish up on the Big Red Bench this evening, and we're going to leave the last word with an absolute legend of sport, and that's AP McCoy, who rode his last two races to bring the end his riding career at Sandown today. 4,348 wins over his career. So if you're a punter, you're bound to have had a cheeky win at him at some stage. We found out about his retirement many months ago, but it's been an emotional couple of months. But here's AP talking about his final day in the saddle.
There has been a lot of emotional parts today. There was tears coming back on box office. I was trying to hide it. There was actually nearly tears going out in box office, but I pulled my goggles down so no one would notice. But it was a very emotional day, and it's something that I'll never forget. I never ever expected it to that. You know, the people that have come out and supported me, and I feel very honoured and very privileged. I said this earlier on today, like any sports person should. You know, we have a very lucky and privileged way of life, and as I said to the lads in the weigh room, that you enjoy every moment of it, because the end doesn't have come around very quick.
That's racing legend AP McCoy. He finished up in his career today, and I can only just imagine what he was saying to those jockeys in the weigh room today. An absolutely stunning career for him, 20-time champion jockey, and he has provided some absolutely huge thrills, huge disappointments, obviously so many injuries over his career, but what a legend. And unfortunately didn't get his fairy tale finish today, 2 third place finishes at Sandown, but look, he's had enough. That's it for this evening on the Big Red Bench. Congratulations to our league winners, our league final ticket winners again, Jeff and Stuart. They'll enjoy the match tomorrow. I'll hopefully enjoy the match tomorrow, because I'm back here at 6 o'clock to talk about it. Cork versus Dublin in the National League final, big focus on tomorrow's show. And Denny Allen will be our guest to join us with his analysis. We'll talk to you then. Stevie's up next with the Block Party.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's new Red FM.